Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Happy and blessed Tuesday, and welcome to episode 495 of the Welcome to Asgard podcast, where tonight we're going to be talking about some of the early projections for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which opens up this week, and also because craziness abounds during the end of our school year in the last 2 weeks that we have of school and exams all just crammed together. I was not able to get the stream, unfortunately, posted at an earlier time like I normally can because there was just a lot of stuff going on. It was our seniors' last day, and so that's always going to be a little bit crazier than usual. But I just before the stream going live, I wanted to get an update on Tony, our good friend Tony over at Deadline, as we like to say, and his biggest box office blockbusters of 2023 list. And let's just say I found a glaring omission on his list, in addition to listing other films that were verifiable flops when you take into account the actual data. So we'll talk about Tony's major mistake and what I think is going on over there with Tony and why I think he might be, you know, leaving a specific film out. And if you know anything about him, if you know anything about the covers that we've had on the channel, you'll have a pretty good idea of what I'm probably referring to. But before getting any further, though, please make sure you smash that like button, light up that fire button on over on Aussie, and smash the rumble button as well. We are live on all those platforms tonight, and we'll say hello to the people in the chat. At first, I just need to take care of something really, really quickly, because I was not able to get everything ready as I would have hoped to have been ready with. Hopefully everything is coming through just fine. As I mentioned, I was unfortunately kind of rushed in getting all the things together today. So hopefully everything is coming through on all the different platforms. I know that sometimes Odyssey has an issue with sound. So let me just go ahead and pull this up real quick just to make sure the sound is coming through. Okay, I don't think the sound is coming through over there. So let me go ahead and just click reset the stream. And that should ultimately fix that issue. And if there are more issues with that, please just let me know in the chat. But let's see who's in the chat. I was not able to get the chat early, and so therefore I'm not able to highlight every single comment, but I can at least read some of them. So Hedge Hobbit was here very, very early, talking about how it's not looking like it'll be a very good May. Who knows, right? The early projections for Planet of the Apes are looking, you know, looking okay. Especially those domestic numbers, and so we'll talk about it. We'll do some live analysis, as my brain has not been able to process all of the numbers today so far. Snorta Peepus Cuber was here early. What's going on? He said, "Hello, Humans and other quitteth. Hail to you." Bruce was here as well. AVN Rules was in the chat. Father Christopher Miller, hail to you, Father. Gets here at a time when, of course, I'm not able to highlight the chat. When he was here, he says, "For once I'm here, our girls won at state yesterday, so we're in the semis on Friday." Well, again, congratulations. That is awesome to hear. Gary Banjo Sandwich of Worthington was here saying hello from the 50% reviewer. Bro, I'm happy that you have started to change your ways ever so slightly. It's good to have just a little bit more variety in those ratings. Just a wee bit. Just a wee bit. Let's see. He also tried to say, we need a rating for best to worst Planet of the Apes films. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I'm one myself where I have definitely not seen all of the films because I've not seen the originals. I know. Shame on me. I have, of course, seen the Caesar trilogy, but I have not seen the originals. Just, again, I think I mentioned this in another stream. I've never found it appealing. I've just never really had a desire to actually watch them. CM Chunk in the chat, what's going on? GMonkey76 in the chat. Also, Prince Screen, hail to you, member on the channel. Orange Hat Reviews, the man chat with the orange... Sorry, dead named you again. The man with the orange hat is in the chat. What's going on, Orange Hat? He is in the chat, and he will, of course, lay down the law if you do not behave. All right, let me go ahead and get the live chat there. Perfect, because now I can start to pull up those comments. So there we go. Prince Screen, there you are. Hail to you. We got Father Luca Illick. What's up, Father? It's been a while, dude. Again, sorry to my chosen. I just have not had the time or energy to do any of our behind-the-scenes talks. Hopefully soon, but again, it's just so hard to even plan those out. Anyway, for Father Luca, thank you for being here. Says, hey, y'all, hope you're having a great day. Laudetur Jesus Christus. Christus resurrexit. Resurrexit vere, Father Luca. Happy and blessed Easter. It is still Eastertide. Let's see. Ryan Liu in the chat. Hail to you. Saying, hi, Odin. How was your day? It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Again, it was one of those bittersweet things. The class that's graduating this year is a very strong one. So I'll definitely be missing a lot of them. But yeah, overall, okay. Just very, very busy. Baby Thor is in full toddler mode. That three-nager is raging at times. Add that in with potty training. And there's some days where it gets a little crazy. Let's see. Forever Sci-Fi, hail to you, member on the channel. How's it going? Let's see. We got Kevin Wang in the chat. What's going on, Kevin? Weekend was all right. Says, I just saw the Fall Guy today, and I was able to tell who were the villains because some had an Android and Apple don't allow villains to have Android. Is that true? I did not pick that up. That's a very specific thing to pick up. I thought it was just more so the way the characters were written made it clear, you know, who the people you should be rooting for are, the people that you shouldn't be rooting for. It's not meant to be a very dense movie, that's for sure. Wendy Hunter in the chat. What's going on, Wendy? Welcome back to the chat. Always glad to have you here. Ryan Liu tagged to say, do you think Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes will lose money because the budget is $160 million and it's going to open to $130 to $145 worldwide? That's just the thing, is that when you have a global opening to that amount for a $160 budgeted film, that is actually a pretty decent start. Right. I wouldn't say it's the best start ever. I wouldn't say that it's the greatest start in the world, but I would definitely say that it is. You would much rather be in that camp. You would much rather be, you know, with that kind of money than to have one of these other releases that we've seen more recently. Right. Where we've seen films and including franchise films where they've had much smaller openings, right? Much smaller openings versus the rest of the films in the franchise. And only if they open to that with a manageable budget and pretty decent holds were they able to really, you know, make amends. I think especially of Kung Fu Panda 4, for instance, where it cost a lot less, like in the $80 million range. It didn't have the greatest of openings, but it was able to stick it out for quite a while. And though it is still quite less than the other films in the franchise for its budget, it's been able to make some decent profits. See, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I need to get something else ready. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Get my comparisons ready there. Yes, we'll talk more about that, especially after I get that information on the screen. Victor Fontaine at 7:30. What's going on, Victor Fontaine? Happy Tuesday. Happy and blessed Tuesday. Lukezilla. What's going on, Lukezilla? Hail to you. Icthulhu tagging. What's up, Lukezilla? Thanks for being here. Let me resize my chat real quick. There we go. Welcome back, Icthulhu. Always glad to have you here. We got Keely Chow in the chat saying, hail Odin. How are you, Lord? How are you, Thor, Freya, and Baby Sif doing? Again, all doing well. Baby Sif, unfortunately, she has a double ear infection. But I will say this much. For having a double ear infection, she's a very happy girl. The only issue we've had is that she's just not been wanting to eat. This is kind of just a thing that, you know, little babies end up going through. It's hard to believe it's been 7 months since she was born. And so she's now crawling, which is, again, something that Baby Thor never did. He did what I did, actually, where we called it in my family the scoot-a-boot. So basically, I would literally be sitting up and then I'd use my legs to move myself forward. And it worked very well for me because I could put my toy, for instance, in my lap and then just scoot around and I could just bring it with me. It was very innovative in that way. And so Baby Thor did something very similar, though he eventually adapted it into a scoot crawl. So he was sitting up and then would, like, you know, actually use his hands and do this fun little scoot crawl thing. So it's interesting just because it's like, oh, it's my first kid who actually goes through a crawling phase. So it's been really funny to see her get to the door of her room and you know, climb out. We you know, call it the prison break and everything. But yeah, so other than her being sick though, she's been okay. All right. I have no idea what this is. I've seen this now, not only on my channel last week, but then I saw it even on, I think, FNT maybe. This one, wait, 1-800-DINKY. I have no idea what that is. No idea. All right, General Wingster, hail to you. Welcome back. Kimberly G, Killian Shadowcat, member on the channel. What's going on, Kimberly G? Saying, howdy, Odin, Orange Chat, Father Miller, and the rest of the movie-loving chat. Absolutely. Absolutely. We love movies. We may not all love modern films or be a fan of most modern films, but we definitely have some of our favorites out there, for sure. Definitely have some of our favorites. All right, let me go ahead and get this thing ready. Guess I can open that up. Yes, I want to create my own comparison chart. The numbers. What do you think this is? And of course, you have none of the other Planet of the Apes film. See, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. What was it? Dawn of Planet of the Apes, and then War? Was it War for the Planet of the Apes? Yes. War for the Planet of the Apes. Very good. So 2011, 2014, 2017. All right. Okay, that actually makes a lot more sense. Cool. So let's actually talk about that right now, and then we'll jump back into the chat. So again, one of the comments has been about, you know, what do I think is going to happen? Do I think that Planet of the Apes is going to be able to make its money back? Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, based off of what some of the early projections are at this point in time. And so let's go ahead and pull up what Deadline has to say, because we all love Deadline here, especially Tony and Nance. Tony and Nance, our favorite people over there. We'll talk more about Tony in a little bit. But as it says, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes looks to evolve summer with $130 million global opening. Don't you always love their puns? Don't you just love the puns every single time? Oh, goodness me. This is a film that we are going to be talking about on Friday Night Tights, and so I will be going to see this movie, and I gotta say, I'm not really all that hyped for it. I was a big fan of the Caesar trilogy. I really liked what they did with it. I thought that the visual effects especially were incredibly stunning. The only major issue I really had was actually the younger Caesar. It just looked very fake. And I guess it makes some sense. I don't think they did any motion capture for that. I could be wrong. But obviously, we know that for the adult Caesar, right, for the vast majority of those three films, you had an amazing team, right? You had an amazing team behind it doing amazing, Andy Serkis, of course, being revolutionary to this with the work that he had, the experience that he had portraying the character of Smeagol in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And, you know, to be able to bring that into this as a franchise, I think he added to it. In fact, his performance was so good in those movies that I actually was like, I'm sorry, this dude deserves some type of Oscar consideration. Because you look at his work behind the scenes, and obviously I think of all the performances he gave, Smeagol deserves, you know, Oscar commendation over any of the others. But I just think that he is an actor. There's a lot more praise than what he's getting, because you sometimes look at the behind the scenes work, like I think of Avatar especially, right? And you look at what they're doing in their motion capture, and it's just really not that impressive, to be perfectly honest. But then you look at what he's doing, right? And that's not everyone in Avatar, by the way. It's just like the main characters. I'm like, okay, I can, you know, do without this. But then you look at what he's doing as Smeagol or what he's doing as Caesar, and you're like, oh my gosh, like this guy is fully embodying what this character is like, right? And is doing a phenomenal job in the process. So I was a big fan of that. But I also was like, okay, I'm glad that it's over. Three movies all within this self-contained universe. Perfect. We don't need any more. And what does Hollywood do? Hollywood says, hey, you know what? Let's make another. The other films did pretty well. Did some decent numbers financially. So might as well make some more, because clearly people like the apes. We'll have to wait and see, right, when the actual numbers come out. But based on what we're seeing right now, $130 million is the global projected opening weekend. Now let's go ahead and get into some brass tacks. So it says, the first Planet of the Apes movie under the Disney regime, that's another very important factor here, after absorbing Fox hits theaters this weekend with Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, poised to do a $50 million domestic. Now this is where we have to make some comparisons, okay? Because if you look to the Caesar trilogy, right, which is essentially what this film is going to be connected to, obviously it's going to be in the post-Caesar world. I think it's going to be, you know, sometime later where you obviously have had a lot more time happen since civilization fell, since the apes took over. They're, of course, you know, kind of in the trailers, it seems like they're really pushing for this fact that there's been a kingdom that has been established by the apes. And the humans are kind of almost in a animalistic, you know, role now, right? They are very much being treated subhumanly and sub-apely, I guess you could say, within the context of this universe. A lot of interesting moral, qualms that could be brought from that. But let's go ahead and just compare on the numbers before we even adjust for inflation, as you all know, very important factor here, okay? So Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the first of those films to come out was in 2011. And that film cost a lot less than what these films have cost, right? $93 million. That's chump change compared to the others, though it's probably well over $100 million when you adjust. But that had an opening weekend of $54 million domestically. The next film, Dawn for the Planet of the Apes, had a massive jump because that first film was pretty successful. And I think personally, Dawn was my favorite. Dawn, I think, was the best of the three films. And that film jumped to a $72 million domestic opening. And that was in 2014. And then you go to 2017, which also had a July opening. And that actually went down to $56 million. Okay. Which I find interesting. And actually, on paper, one could even argue that maybe the first and third films had either the exact same, maybe even had a little bit more for Rise. Again, I'd have to do the full adjustment. More so to actually compare ticket sales. That would be the more interesting thing to look at. But that's the current metric right there, right? So on paper, right, just looking at these numbers, people would say, okay, it looks like it's going to open, right? This new film, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, is going to open just around the same area as the first and third film in the Caesar trilogy. So that seems like a pretty good number, right? Well, let's see what happens when we adjust for inflation. And again, not a perfect system, but I think it definitely provides some very important context when you see people comparing these numbers. Because when Tony and these other box office shills, right, when they do comparisons, they will show you a film from the 1990s, compare it to a film in 2024, and then say, look, they had essentially the same opening weekend. Yeah, 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 yeah. And they'll be like, wait, what? No. That's not how that works. You at the very least have to take into account the average ticket price. You have to at least, you know, have an apples to apples comparison versus the value of money today versus the value of money in previous times. So let's see what happens when we adjust for inflation. All right. Now we see a little bit of a difference. Okay. So adjusting for inflation, as I said, I thought this might be the case. This is the first time that I'm looking at these numbers, but I've done these adjustments so many times that usually I could look at a number and say, okay, probably would be around this much, probably around this much. So the first film, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, in today's dollars would be around $126 million in actual budget, but the opening weekend was around $74 million. So the first film in the franchise, $74 million, jumped all the way up to $95 million, so almost a $100 million opening for Dawn for the Planet of the Apes in today's dollars, and then it goes down to $67 million. And this is what is the most interesting, right? Because as much as I loved Dawn, I thought War for the Planet of the Apes was okay. But we can see there's obviously some moving metrics here, and there's some changing interest, especially in the domestic market, right? Look at the difference between Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes. They lost around $100 million worth of audience between those two movies. That's no small thing. And that's what I find the most interesting, right? Because I would assume that Dawn, because it being a very solid movie, would actually have led to a higher opening weekend for War. But I'm wondering if maybe it was just the fact that it was not as good as far as the trailer was concerned. One can always bring up to the potential that there were other films and that those films were, you know, were fighting against this movie and were causing competition. And that could be the case, but I've always made this argument that just because there's competition does not mean that that can explain away why a film doesn't make a certain amount of money. I think a great example of this is Barbenheimer, right? Barbenheimer, you had two films there, and both of them, right, one, you know, went well over $1 billion worldwide, and in the case of Oppenheimer, it almost went over $1 billion worldwide, right? $950 million for that film, over $1 billion for Barbie. So those films came out at the same time. There was some crossover in the audience, though, again, definitely will say audiences are a bit different. Predominantly male audience for Oppenheimer, predominantly female audiences for Barbie. But because of the whole Barbenheimer meme, there was a lot of crossover between those two projects. And so two films can do really well. So competition is not a good argument in and of itself, okay? And so I look at that and I think, okay, maybe the word of mouth on War was just not as good. Maybe the trailers, maybe the marketing was not as effective, right? But we're talking now about the current regime, right? We're talking now about what is actually coming out. And so King of the Planet of the Apes, $50 million opening weekend. Again, Tony might try to have a comparison between this and between the other films in the franchise, and he'll use those numbers, right? He'll use the unadjusted numbers there. Let me see if he actually, yeah, there. Okay, here we go. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, wait. Okay, hold on. Hold the phone, everybody. Has Tony learned a lesson here? I don't think I've ever seen Tony do this. Look at what he's just done. Breaking news, everybody. Tony has learned about inflation. Looking at comps and at today's exchange rates, 2011's Rise of the Planet of the Apes bowed to 62 internationally, 8 million from China, 2014. Sorry. I gave him too much credit. He's talking about international numbers. So he's like, I'm using today's exchange rates, but he's not adjusting for inflation. You only got part of the equation there, Tony. But hey, at least you're doing that. See, that's why I should never give Tony any credit before. Oh, man. Does he even make a comparison? Let's see here. That start, as it mentions, in the U.S. Canada isn't far from the $56.2 million of the opening of Matt Reeves' 2017 film, War for the Planet of the Apes, and that would be considered solid. King of the Planet of the Apes has the advantage in its opening at a time with less competition than War for the Planet of the Apes. This sequel, which takes 300 years after the events of War for the Planet of the Apes, is directed by Maze Runner filmmaker Wes Ball. No Rotten Tomato scores yet. Not that that really matters all that much in today's world. But, okay, look at what he's just done. Okay. Not adjusting. He says, hey, you know what? That's pretty close to War for the Planet of the Apes. $56.2 million. That's pretty close, right? Okay, yeah. But when you actually adjust that 67, okay, not as close. And then you compare that to the first film, 74. Then you compare that to the second film, 95. Oh, boy. Okay. So we're looking at a film that probably will be the lowest opening of the franchise when you actually take into account real numbers, when you take into account actual value. And I'll have to make a chart where I go through the ticket sales as well, because, I think that there's a lot to be said there. But the one thing I always find is that when you do the comparison on average ticket sales, right, when you take the average ticket price and then take that into account with the domestic opening, you see the exact same story, right? The metrics are different, the numbers are different, but the same story is told, right? Which is that when you have an adjustment for inflation, it almost always correlates to ticket sales. So meaning $95 million for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, that means that there were much more tickets sold for Dawn than there were for Rise, than there were for War of the Planet of the Apes, is what I'm trying to get at. You add to all of these things the fact that today's ticket price is so high on average. And that means that we're going to see the lowest, not just total gross opening weekend, but also the least amount of people going to see this movie also. And so whereas Tony might try to bring up those international comparable numbers, right, because he's only using today's exchange rates, but he's not actually adjusting the value of the dollar for inflation, he's missing a very key component with that, right? So anyway, what do I think is going to happen? Usually these projections are pretty spot on. So I think that what we will end up seeing is the film doing in that $50 million range. I could believe that. That would make sense to me. I would go to Box Office Pro, but they've been kind of garbage recently, and Box Office Report doesn't put their projections out until Thursday evening. So we'll be able to make some projections when Thursday comes around, because again, I have my ticket to go see that Thursday night, and I should be able to make some projections based on the number of people in that screen, right? So I saw Fall Guy, for instance, in the same theater, which is the cheap discount IMAX, because my local AMC has just the Big D format. Yeah, that's right. They decided to name it the Big D, because that is just the wisest decision that you can make as a company, AMC. Because I'm pretty sure that's an AMC branded thing, actually. And so I'll be able to see the audience comparisons there. But overall, it looks like it's a decent opening weekend compared to other films recently, right? It's going to be a good 20 million more than what The Fall Guy did. Right, that film not doing that well financially. And with a $160 million budget, there's still a chance that the film could definitely make its money back, but it's not looking as good as it could. The one last thing that I'll mention is for the last movie, 2017's War for the Planet of the Apes, I'll go ahead and put this on the screen, actually, so that way it can help out. The film had an opening weekend of $56 million. Again, that's unadjusted. With a budget of $152 million unadjusted, that's still 3.2 times its budget, meaning that the last film wasn't a huge moneymaker, right? Because remember, if you do some of the random crazy charting that I do, when you take into account the actual splits between theatrical and between the studios, and what's interesting is that, even Tony in his whole, hey, what were the biggest moneymakers of last year charting, even he has to admit that basically only roughly half total of the entire box office goes to the studio, which about works out to what I typically break it down to be, right? And so you look at that and you think, okay, vast majority of its money coming internationally, a lot less coming domestically than the previous films. So you're looking at a movie that maybe broke even, but there's a good chance that it didn't, at least not at the box office, okay? Versus Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which made 4.2 times its budget. So again, on paper, not that much better, but we know, you know, total box office definitely a lot higher. And then Rise being a film that didn't cost nearly as much, 5.1 times its budget. So those are the kinds of numbers that we'll be looking at, is how much times its budget will it be able to make? Because in today's world, you need to make closer to 3 times its budget, especially if most of your money is being made overseas. And we know that most of these films these days have been making a lot more money overseas. But what say you? Let's jump back in the chat. Let's see. Grabthar's Hammer. What's going on? Welcome to the chat. Let's see. Killy Chow says, in my Scott Snyder voice, you know, they say all movies are created equal, but here on OMB Reviews, that statement is not true. I still have no idea how close that even is. Jonah Wingster says, would you rather be stranded in the woods with a woman or a bear? There's our pet troll, General Wingster. Much love, good sir, to you. hasn't that been making the rounds? Hasn't there been a question that, like, women have been answering, and some of them are like, I'd rather be trapped with the bear. And it's like, bro, really? I mean, I'd rather not be stranded with anyone, because I'm a, despite what it might seem like, I am a very introverted person, so I would feed off of just being in isolation more so than and basically, if the woman is my wife, then yes, I would be stranded with her. But then I'd also feel bad, because then it's like, okay, but what are my kids? So yeah, that's why I don't like those kinds of questions. KK and Rumsky over on Rumble, what's up, brother, says, can you hear me now? Good. Prit Screen, Tony also seemed to underestimate how much money Oppenheimer made. A movie made on a $100 million budget, which grossed $960 million, should have made more than $200 million in profit. Yeah, what's interesting about all of the things, and I actually am probably, and now that we're getting very close to the end of the semester, meaning summer is almost here. Yes, summertime, can't wait. Time for me to actually read the books that I've been wanting to read and do some of the things that I've been wanting to do. I'll probably have to do my own breakdown of his charting and say, okay, here's what the actual numbers were for his top, quote unquote, top 10 movies. And then try to also figure out a way to do my own top 10, right? Obviously I write for geeksandgamers.com, so maybe do Geeks and Gamers version of a top 10 highest grossing. The one issue that can sometimes come around is that there are some movies that are higher grossing films as far as just total net profits, but then you also take into account, but should we have it be where it's just your total profits, or should it be profits versus the amount of money you put in, right? So like, do you make 10 times your budget, but you don't make as much total revenue as a film like a Barbie, for instance, or a film like a Super Mario Brothers, for instance? That would be kind of the thing that would maybe trip me up a little bit, to be like, I don't know which way to go with that. But Father Luca, thank you for noticing. Yes, indeed. It is a St. Benedict medal. There's an amazing company here called Catholic T-Shirt Company, and they have a subscription. And I'm like, I love T-shirts. I'm a Catholic and I'm very proud of that. So a lot of the shirts have been very, very good. I love it. Let's see. Cthulhu says, can we get a math meme before the box office breakdown? It's too good, bro. Ah, man. I hate that I sometimes don't always get to it. But anyway, we did just do a lot of math. And so I think it's absolutely appropriate to do that right now. So Tony over at Deadline, this is dedicated to you because you have no idea how to.
I can see a real math magician at work.
Yes. You have no idea how to math, Tony. But that's okay. That's okay. I still love you, Tony. Wendy Hunter. Hi, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing well as well, Wendy. Thank you for being here. Who's trying to tag me? Who is trying to tag me over there? Someone's tagging me, telling me that they can't join the stream. Bro, I'm streaming, man. Come on. Rob D. Hello, Odin. My Blu-ray buying spree continues. I picked up Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 for about $8 each. Oh, man, that's always a tough one for me, because I definitely think I appreciate those films more now than when they first came out. I don't think Amazing Spider-Man 2 is good by any means. But I think I just appreciate them a little bit more only because of Andrew Garfield. I like Andrew Garfield in those movies. I do. I just do. And it's clear that a lot of people just like him in general, because I mentioned this a lot. When you go back and think about the experience of watching Spider-Man No Way Home, which is still one of the better, more recent box office experiences and just theatrical experiences, it was just so much fun. And it was that movie that brought people back to theaters, right? It was that movie that showed, yeah, guess what? Hollywood can still make movies that brings a ton of people out. And I just remember being in a packed theater and looking around. And of course, there were so many people that were still in masks and all that nonsense, right? But it was also that thing of, okay, but they're here, right? Just a week ago, we were being told, you know, oh, the reason why West Side Story is failing is because people are still scared to go out to the theater. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, they were just waiting for a movie worth going out to see. And so it was like that first step also for, I think, a lot of people who were afraid. And then they were able to go out and say, oh, actually, you know what? There's no reason to be afraid. I'm not afraid anymore, right? Shout out to Home Alone. But for those movies, I think the best experience, or the thing that sticks in my mind still, is the biggest pop from No Way Home. The biggest pop the entire night, Andrew Garfield. Toby got a great pop. And I think it might be because people were excited for Andrew Garfield, because maybe that was the one, unless you were reading the leaks and all that stuff, which I tried to avoid, right? Unless you were reading all that stuff, you didn't know for sure if he was going to be in it, right? Because he had gone on record and be like, no, I'm not going to be in it, da-da-da. So I think it was the bigger surprise. So people were like, oh, yes, he's in it. Whereas for Toby, they were like, probably like, okay, I assume he's going to be in it. But also it's more of that like, oh, it's Toby. So it was less of the excitement and more of the like internalized like, oh, yes. So excited, so happy. All right, let's see. Orange Hat. I am not of the delusional ones, so dead naming is not an issue with me. glad to hear it. Let's see. AVN Rules, what's up? Thanks for tagging. Father Mello says, Christus vincit, Christus regnat, Christus imperat. Yes, Christus resurrexit, resurrexit vere. Christ has risen, he has risen indeed. Indeed, he has risen. See, General Wingster, welcome to the Citizen of Asgard level. Thank you for being a member. Thank you for becoming a member, sir. Appreciate you. As a member, says, Luca, I forgot to renew my certificate. Boom. Thank you. Your papers are now in order, General Wingster. Your papers are now in order. Wendy Hunter, time to say, sorry for saying twice hi. That's okay, Wendy. That's okay. But don't let it happen again. Kidding. Print screen. I was a member. Well, I know I just had the Fall Guy spoiled for me. I don't really even care since it's not a huge movie. Yeah, again, did I do that, or you just mean like in general someone spoiled it? And I've said this for a long time, that if you care, and this is not being directed to you because I don't think you're saying this, but if anyone is ever so not wanting to find out what happens in a movie, right, if that matters to you to that degree, then you shouldn't be online at this point, right? If spoilers matter that much to you, why are you watching a pop culture stream where the chances of it coming up are very high? Right? It's like, basically, know thyself, right? As the old Greek philosophical adage goes, know thyself and read the room and everything. Now, I will always try to, on this channel, avoid spoilers until it's been at least a full week from release, and then we'll talk light spoilers typically. And then once it's been 2 weeks, it's like, okay, look, if you haven't seen it in 2 weeks, don't try and tell me that you really care about spoilers at that point, you know. But also, a lot of the movies that come out these days, I feel, don't really have any major spoilers that would actually affect the way you watch a movie. And I've always been of that mindset too, of as much as and as great as it is to go in blind to a movie, truly great films will be ones that, even if you know what's going to happen, they're still enjoyable. Dogzilla, what's up, Dogzilla? Kevin Huang says, did you see Disney Plus was able to make profit for the first time? I did not see that, actually, because the last news I had heard was just how much worse they were than people had initially thought. But also keep in mind of how much money that Disney Plus has been spending on things, and with everything that's been reported from Disney, I'm going to be honest, I highly doubt and question those profit reports if those are actually true. But no, I didn't see that. Let's see. Star Goose over on Rumble says, "Hail Odin, what does all the Vikings speak on your shirt say?" It's not Viking, it's Latin. It's Latin. So this is the St. Benedict medal. And so the Latin phrase on there, the entire prayer that is on the St. Benedict medal. It's actually a really awesome prayer of exorcism. So I would actually recommend looking up St. Benedict medal. All the rosaries that I make, I put those on there. By the way, two people have requested rosaries, and I have the first set ready and done. I just need to finish the second one, and then I'll the second person's rosary, and then I'll be able to send those out. But those are indeed ready. Wendy Hunter says, "I did the same thing, the Scooter Boot." Yeah! Team Scooter Boot. Cthulhu, "They grow up so fast, soon they will be mowing the lawn and finally be useful." It's going to be a while before my son gets to that point. He's so uncoordinated. It's always funny because we're like, we're very much like the parents where we don't want him to play football. And I know that people all parent a little bit differently, but for us, we're like, I'm sorry. There's so many other sports that are so much just safer. And it's not even just about a coddling thing. It's more of a, yeah, probably not a good idea to play a sport where you're just bashing your heads against one another constantly. I mean, just doesn't seem like a very bright idea, right? Because you can get hurt at anything. That's why it's like, look, almost any other sport, we're going to be fully supportive of everything. But football, that's going to be the one that we're going to be like, yeah, please don't. But one of the things that we're kind of, at least my wife's kind of happy about, is that he seems to be getting her coordination, which means not very much. So the chances of him being an athlete in general are not very good. But we'll be working on it soon, hopefully, because he's finally getting to the age where we can start to, you know, go over like throwing a ball and things like that. Let's see. Print screen. "Eating being painful for an ear infection could perhaps mean it's a throat problem, maybe a canker sore, perhaps." Yeah, I mean, she went to the doctor. So she was brought to the doctor, and that's when we found out about the ear infection, because everything else about her didn't indicate. Even her, you know, teachers, even her, even the daycare, all the workers were like, we would never have guessed that she had an ear infection because she's always just so happy and smiley all the time. And the only time that there's really an issue is like when she's halfway through one of her bottles. That's when she starts getting fussy. All right, let's see. We got Laura, the modern major general. Story shorty short, what's going on? Shorty Short says, "Fall Guy stole the crying in the car while singing Swift scene from the Bear series." Oh, did they really? I haven't seen the Bear. But oh man, that was funny. And I will say, this is how I'm very proud of this. Okay. Had no idea that was Taylor Swift until someone mentioned Taylor Swift in the movie. I was like, I'm very happy that I don't know her music well enough to pick up that was Swift. I mean, obviously there's ones that are well known by everybody, like the shake it off thing. But in general, I probably couldn't tell you most of her songs, and that's a good thing. I'm proud of that. Very proud of that. I'm about the as opposite of a Swiftie as you can possibly get. Let's see. Father Miller says, "Planet of the Apes really needs to name one of the gorillas Harambe and then have them get killed." I wasn't ready. I don't think I was ready for that one. Oh, man. Because I was like, oh yeah, they should name it Harambe. Then have it get killed off. I mean, Billy follows that up with, "I regret nothing." Oh, hail to you, Father. Let's see. Kimberly G says, 1-800 Danky is the person that does the Geeks and Gamers animated clips. Oh, okay. Yes, yes. What's up, Danky? That's how unplugged I have been from so much of this. And again, it's not even just being busy, but it's also for my own mental health. You know, I had to take a break from social media a couple years ago at this point, it seems like, because I was on it too much. And so one of the things that I've done, and this has been really beneficial, is I've basically just turned off like all notifications. So that alone has helped out a lot, because then it's like, I only know if I have any responses to anything tweet-wise, if I get on. So it gives me a lot more control. And that seems very weird to say, right? Because it's like, oh, you're free will. You should always have control. But these companies, right, these social media companies, these phone companies, they know how to get you addicted to stuff. They try to make these things as addicting as possible, right? The whole gamification of their apps, right, it is done in such a way to train the human brain. So that has been, and if anyone else struggles from this, that has been a huge benefit to me, turning off those notifications. And then even during the school day, right, I have certain, one of the things you can do on iPhone, I know you can do it on Google as well, is you can have certain notification settings for just general system. And that's been hugely beneficial too, right? Because I only get notified during the school day if I get an email from work, because that's a good thing. And then if I get a text from my wife, like those are the only things that I allow to actually come through. And that's been a huge benefit to me as well. So because of that, though, long story is to say that I just am so unconnected from everything. And because I can't possibly keep up with the hundreds of hours of content from every other creator, I don't know a whole lot about that. I as soon as you said animated clip, that's what I recognized. Because if that's like the really funny animations of like Jeremy, Ryan, and there's like also ones of like what Az and Gary, those have been really funny. Because I think they've been showing those on FNT also when I'm not on. Because I can only stay on for the first 2 hours because I got to go dad mode after that. Laura is driving. Please drive safe. Please drive safe. Victor Fontaine is the man to go to. He is often posting deals on the Discord server as well. Says, I have the Planet of the Apes 4K trilogy box set I bought on a $24 price drop and have never watched them. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, as much as I like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I own them too. In fact, do I own all of them? So I can't check because, as you all know, I still have my sign up, by the way. Fragile, right? My shelf collapsed several months ago. My shelf collapsed several months ago. And it's something that I'm being reminded of constantly. And so when they collapse, that means the movies that I had meticulously last summer put into alphabetical order were no longer in order. So it won't be until this summer that I'll finally be able to alphabetize them, get them back into order. And maybe then I'll be able to find it. But I'm pretty sure I have Rise, Dawn, and War, I think. I at least have Dawn. I know that much because I do like that one. But to your point, yeah, I haven't rewatched them. As much as I enjoyed them and I even own them, it's just one of those things. Prince Screen, who is a member, says, is it just me or does the girl in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes look like Brett Cooper from the Daily Wire? I didn't get that vibe. I actually don't know who the actress is, but I was rather, she looked a lot like, and maybe she even is, I want to say I was getting vibes of The 100. Is she one of the actresses from The 100? I'm now curious of that. Because that's what kind of the vibes that I got. She looked a lot like Marie Avrarapoulos. Butchered that name completely. But that's what it looked like. And based off of that, it's looking like that is not who it is. So now I need to be like, I wonder who it actually is. I put in King and the first hit is Mufasa the Lion King. Speaking of films that I think are going to do horrible. Oh, wait, that's right. Okay, never mind. What am I thinking? It's Freya Allen. Of course. Okay. Yeah, now that makes more sense. Okay. For those that don't know Freya Allen, she is in The Witcher. She's Ciri from The Witcher. I think she's okay. I think she's a fine actress. So I know some people have issues with, obviously The Witcher series for good reason because The Witcher series is garbage, but I think she was fine in it. All right, see, Orange Chat says, some of the small Caesar shots were done with Andy's face performance. There was also a very small motion performer that did the smaller Caesar mocap. Her name was Dylan something. Oh, okay, interesting. I guess it just didn't translate as well. Because I just remember seeing the Rise of the Planet of the Apes film And until he was full grown, it just, I was like, okay, it just didn't seem as good. Gary Banjo Sandwich, your 20 minutes of FNT was legendary. Oh, thank you, Gary. I appreciate it very much. Yeah, I was only on 20 minutes of FNT for the 300th episode because Gary is a boomer and because he has, I don't know if it's like dragging feet or if it's just not wanting to deal with the technical changes, or it could just be technical issues for all I know, right? There's a lot of things that I just don't know. But I heard a rumor that we were switching from StreamYards to EVMUX and that things were ready, but we just haven't done it. So I don't know how much of that is true. I don't know. So again, take this with a giant grain of salt. But I was excited for that news because of the fact that that would mean that we could have more people not only on screen, but also more people in the back. Because the issue is because we had Gina Carano on, shout out to Gina Carano, thanks for showing up on FNT, it meant that there were not enough spots for everybody. And so since I am not on the stream the entire time, usually that means that I am one of the first ones that gets asked to, you know, to step out, to make space. And so because of that, and because she went long, because she's an amazing person, and again, for the greater good, it was for the greater good because she got us to a new record. I had to step out, and that meant by the time I got on, I had only 20 minutes left before I had to go and jump in to go into dad mode. So if anyone's wondering why you only under 20 minutes, like, cause literally at 6 PM, sorry, wait a minute. Yeah. 6 PM is roughly, you know, is basically a hard out. Depending on how things are going, I can maybe stretch that to 6:15. It depends on when dinner gets here, basically. Because we have a very strict no screen policy for Baby Thor during the week. So no TV, no shows or anything. And so Friday is the first of that. And so he gets excited because he's like, oh, okay. So I can, with my dinner, watch some Bluey or something like that. So depending on that, because obviously if he's not been listening at school that day, then maybe we, you know, say, oh, nope, not tonight. Then that can sometimes give me some extra time. But in general, I can go maybe 6 p.m. Eastern to 6:15 Eastern. And that's like, okay, now I got to jump off because now I got to help take care of the kids. Family first. Orange Hat says she also played Cornelia in Rise. Oh, talking about the actor. Okay, interesting. Avian rules, the humans are feral. Oh, yes. That's essentially what I was trying to say, but yes. General Wingster says, fast and furious. Oh, please, no, General Wingster. No. Father Miller, I think the only Planet of the Apes I saw was the 2001 in the theater and haven't seen any since, and I don't blame you because I heard that one was terrible. Is that the one with Marky Mark? Abomination is going to confirm that. 748 says, Odin, come on, be fair. The 2001 Wahlberg Apes movie belongs up there, too, for a true comparison. Is that what you really think? Is that what you really think? Because I can try to do that. Is it even giving me that as an option? Doesn't even give that as an option. Let's see. Isn't that just Planet of the Apes? Because it was meant to be like a reboot, and then it just didn't. Let's see. Planet of the Apes 2001. I'm curious now. Oh, man. Dude, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold the phone. What? I had no idea. I was expecting this to be a massive flop. But this is actually so much more money than I ever could have imagined for 2001 Marky Mark, because I heard this movie was terrible. And maybe it still is, because guess what? Bad movies make money too. So here's 2001 Planet of the Apes, Marky Mark. So first off, adjusted for inflation, $190 million budget. Oh, goodness. Like, oh, goodness. $130 million opening weekend when you adjust. So I take it all back. So that means that this movie coming out this weekend is not going to even be close in any discernible degree to the 2001 Marky Mark film. At least when you adjust for inflation. What's even crazier is that the 2001 film, when you adjust, made more money than Rise for the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes. Now let's people are gonna be like, no, not inflation. How dare you? Let's see. Still higher. $68 million for its opening weekend. 180 domestic, 340. So again, even still, more domestic total than War for the Planet of the Apes, and even more than Rise. Internationally, it was the most successful. Or sorry, never mind. No, all right. Sorry, that's the adjusted number that they have there. That's the adjusted number. $342 million domestic. Oh my goodness. Internationally, 182. That's the lowest. But I also always remind myself, 2001, the international footprint was not there, right? You think about how much further Hollywood has expanded out internationally over the years. And so it makes a lot more sense for from the films that came out early 2000s, 90s, etc. Those international numbers are not going to be really anything. Whereas you get to like, especially like the 2010s on, you start to see those international numbers get a lot bigger. But still, $362 million is where it was. But this is why inflation is so important. Because people would say, oh, 2001, it's the lowest grossing film. Not when you adjust for inflation. And more importantly, also when you include things like ticket prices. Right? So let's put up those adjusted numbers again. $130 million opening weekend domestically, and the one coming up this weekend is 50-ish. Abomination. Thank you for mentioning that, because, dude, I never would have thought that that film made that much money. I thought you were setting up like a complete flop. And let me just confirm something. It made 3.6 times its budget. So it actually, on paper, based off of that, it made money. Oh, man. I'd have to do the full analysis to know for sure, but all things considered, it looks like it made money. Dang. That's very surprising. Let's see. Kevin Davis, hail to you. CM Chung, Teddy say, I love the first two Apes movies, but was very disappointed in War. Yeah, I think that it's definitely the least favorite in the trilogy for me, but it was one I still enjoy. I think it was more so I enjoyed the fact that it was the end of Caesar's story, and I thought that the effects were really good. Let's see. Thulu says, people constantly talk about going back in time and removing Hitler. After hearing about Barbenheimer for a year now, I want someone to go back in time and stop that meme. Thulu, it's like one of the only good things to come out of the Barbie movie. And actually, I'm going to be honest, it's one of the very few things to positively, for me at least, come out of the Oppenheimer film, because I was not a big fan of that movie either. I'm sorry. I can't get over the fact that he used, like, honestly gratuitous sexuality in that film when there was absolutely no reason for it. I know we had a huge conversation about this last week, and some people were like, nah, prude. Someone called me a prude. I'm like, okay. Whatever you need to do to justify your own debauchery. But yeah, no, I would not take away the Barbenheimer meme. Just like I wouldn't take away the whole Knuff stuff. Because that's like the only funny thing. And what makes that whole thing even funnier, though, is the fact that as much as that film tries to be this huge feminist, and it is, don't get me wrong, it is still a huge just feminist drivel film. It's hilarious to me that the people's favorite thing from the movie amongst all demographics is Ken. Like, let's just say, what made the biggest splash at the Oscars that nobody watched? It was Ryan Gosling doing the Ken song. Kagan Rumsky on Rumble says, do you think Tony from Deadline subscribes to your channel? Probably not. He probably has no idea who I am. He's in the lofty ivory tower of Hollywood reporters, right? The other thing I love about Deadline is that anytime you go to their site and you have an ad blocker, which I do, it says, remove the ad blocker to support independent media. And I'm like, independent? Are you kidding me? You're owned by this, like, because I know Gary talks about this a lot. Like, the same company owns Deadline, Hollywood Reporter, and Variety, right? Isn't it like all under the same corporation? It's like, please, independent journalism. Especially by this fact. So I'll bring this up now too, and then we'll jump back into the chat also. Speaking of Tony from Deadline, so you know how he's been doing this most valuable blockbuster tournament, right? He does this almost every year. So he just finished, right, his most valuable with the Super Mario Brothers movie, okay? And here's the funny thing about the entire thing, all right? Let's pull up the entire thing. All right, so the number one film, Super Mario Brothers. Number two was Barbie. Number three, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. He then did The Biggest Bombs, which was also laughable because it underestimated a lot of things. He then put TMNT as number four, which is a joke. All right, let's actually go to TMNT and explain why this is a joke, okay? So he claims the film had $204 million in net profit, all right? Well, hold the phone for a second, okay? It only got $84 million from the theatrical take, right? $181 million worldwide, it only got $84 million. So as you can see, the reason why we always say you don't get 100% of your box office, it's closer to 50, sometimes even less, right? Sometimes even more, right? It depends on the film. It depends on where it's making its money. So it made $84 million theatrically, but it cost $164 million. Already on paper, you can say that ain't profit. Now, some might say, but well, hold on a second. What about the home entertainment and the television and streaming? And oh, wait a minute. He added in merchandise. Big issue with this, okay? What merchandising is he including? Is this including the fact that TMNT, just in general, has always been, it seems, to me at least, very good at selling merchandise? Can we absolutely confirm that all $135 million that they're reporting for merchandise all was simply due to the fact that the film existed? I mean, what they're saying with that and what Tony is saying with this is that $135 million worth of merchandise was sold because of this movie and only because of this movie. I'm sorry. I got some doubts about that, but also nothing to do with the actual movie itself. Okay. The one that's hilarious though, is this little doozy, $100 million for television and streaming. The reason why that's hilarious is because that would be mostly money that the company who owns the rights, it's Paramount, right? Nickelodeon, Paramount, I believe. Let me double check that. Let me see if it'll tell me. Yeah, Paramount, there it is. All right. So they're putting it on Paramount Plus. So what they're saying is, oh, okay, so we're going to pay ourselves $100 million to put this onto Paramount Plus. That's not how this works, Tony. That's moving money from one bank to another bank. That'd be like me saying, hey, my wife and I have our own personal accounts because credit needs to have old accounts. So it's good to hold on to those old accounts because that's what helps with your credit score, right? Is having a very old account. So just logically, it makes sense to have them. But we also have our shared account because that's where most of our money is going to be going, okay? If I decide to take $50 from my personal account and put it into our joint account, that does not mean that I've just made $50. That means that I've shifted money that I already own around to another location. So just because you're spending $100 million or giving yourself $100 million because you're paying for a service that you already own to have the right to show a movie that you already own, I'm sorry. That's not how this works. So again, most profitable or one of the most profitable, number four on your list of most profitable, a joke. A complete joke. All right, that was number four. Oh, here it is. Support independent entertainment journalism. Please. You're owned by the same corporation as the other places. So TMNT was number four, okay? All right, let's keep going here. All right, so number five, let's see where number five is. Number five was Oppenheimer, okay? What's funny about the whole Oppenheimer thing, by the way, is that everything that Tony showed actually shows that the movie made a lot less profit than what we had initially thought. So I just thought that was interesting on having a much smaller budget than others. Wonka, number six. That one makes more sense to me because Wonka did pretty well overall. Taylor Swift at number seven. Again, even that one, I'm like, shouldn't that be a little bit higher on that list? Probably. Fight as a Phrase at number eight. That one made sense. Number nine was Guardians, which, remember, lost money. We'll break that one down in a second. And then Paw Patrol. Do y'all see what movie is missing on this list? All right. So let's pull open a couple of these. All right. Let's start off with Guardians, because this thing right here, okay? If you want to know why this is a joke, why Deadline as a general box office coverage company is a joke, look at what they did, okay? They said, hey, guess what? You made $124 million in net profit, Disney, from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And we get there because $180 million you made in revenue from television and streaming. You mean $180 million that Disney paid itself to put it onto Disney Plus? That's not revenue, Tony. That's moving one piece of money from a bank account to another bank account that you already own. That's not profit. That's not revenue. Even that one number alone, guess what? Erases the entire studio profit that supposedly is there. Okay? Now, they mentioned $120 million in home entertainment. That would be like PVOD sales. So, you know, it gets out of theatrical and then you can buy it for like $20 on Google Play, etc. So they're claiming $120 million in that. That's, again, pretty decent. But what's interesting, again, look at these numbers. $845 million worldwide, but it only made $374. They only got $374 from those splits. So what does this mean? That means the movie lost money. So the film that I said was arguably the only profitable movie of 2023 for them actually ends up, based off of the data provided here, because the one thing that we get from here that kind of changes things is we get a prints and ads number, meaning this is how much was spent on marketing costs. So $250 million was the reported budget. This is also something where it could go higher. I think this is a movie we're still waiting to hear from the UK tax returns. So this could actually be a much higher number. But reportedly $160 million worth of prints and ads. That's still also higher than the average marketing, right? Remember, most marketing is about 1.5 times the budget, right? And so usually for a $250 million film, you'd spend $125 million roughly on marketing. They spent a little bit more, $160 million here. And then what I found out after the fact is that participations number that's mentioned is money, I believe, you pay out to certain movie stars and directors for reaching certain thresholds. So I think it's in certain actors' contracts or certain creators' contracts where if you reach a certain amount of money, you get a certain amount paid to you, essentially, is what I've gathered from that number. Regardless, though, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was a failure. It lost money. Paw Patrol, all right? I don't remember this film being really a big hit. Could be wrong. Maybe I just don't remember. Actually, you know what? No, scratch that, reverse it. Let me actually pull up my chart. We love Chatsia. Let me see what I had for Paw Patrol. All right. So Paw Patrol, let's see. It cost $30 million, needed to make around $75 million. Yeah, never mind. Sorry. Yeah, $76 million is what I had as far as a profit, 6.7 times its budget. So, okay, that would make sense to be on here. But let's see what they do. Television streaming, they give themselves $70 million. So, yeah, still not that much money in profit, Tony. Still not that much money in profit, dude. But what's one movie that's missing off of this list? All right. Maybe you've picked it up. Maybe you figured it out at this point. All right. Maybe you have. If you haven't already, anyone remember Sound of Freedom? Anybody remember Sound of Freedom? Because I remember Sound of Freedom. Remember the film that made, what, $250 million worldwide? Remember how the film, again, on paper cost $15 million, but I think they only spent about $5 million. Angel Studios only spent about $5 million to get the rights to it. Or maybe it's the other way around. Regardless, though, that movie was a huge profit, you know, huge profitability, right? Even according to my charts, $127 million in net gain profits. And it's nowhere on Tony's list. Tony at no point mentions Sound of Freedom as a profitable movie or one of the most profitable films. And again, he has Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which lost 50-ish million at the box office. He has Paw Patrol, which, yes, made profit, but not nearly as much as he's giving credit for. And he has several other films on here that, yes, made profit, but not more profit than that movie. And if you remember, right, Tony was the same guy. Whenever he had to talk about Sound of Freedom, he had to go crazy. He had to say, oh, it's QAnon conspiracy. It's QAnon adjacent, I tell you. That's Tony. So that's just what you can see, right? A sign of just how disingenuous that guy is. He does not even have Sound of Freedom on there as the most or one of the most profitable films of last year. Whether you're comparing the budget to how much it made or just the total net gain profit, it is one of the most profitable films from last year. You just can't deny that. But he'll play that funky math for a Disney Guardians film, which I enjoyed much more than I thought I was going to. Still have to look at the numbers and say, yeah, it didn't make its money. You can't just say, oh, it paid itself $180 million to be on Disney Plus. That's not how reality works. Anyway, let's get back into the chats. Because those are the only topics that I had on record today, on schedule today. So we got 20 minutes where we can see what y'all have to say. All right, Jeremy Sikowski at 753. What's going on, brother? So speaking about Adjust, I was told the other day that inflation talk is basically pointless. You can never assume how a movie from years ago would perform now. Oh, Jeremy. Did that make you do what I just did? Where it's like, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that the value, right, of the dollar then is not the same as the dollar of today. So if we just take about the value that it had then and say, okay, what would that look like in today's dollars? Okay, that's why inflation does matter. And that's why if inflation drives you crazy, and if you go off on that tangent as these people who you talked to clearly did, then you would say, okay, then let's just look at the average ticket price and compare that instead. How many total tickets were sold? Guess what? You're going to see the same exact thing. A lot more then versus now. It's showing you the same thing. Oh, man. Anyway. Abomination. Big D is such an edgy Twitch streamer term. Yes. And AMC's knockoff IMAX, they said, you know what? That just sounds like a great Kava Keef 320. Had to laugh at that. Of course. And again, do I enjoy it? Hilarious. As far as the actual format goes, it is discount IMAX. So, yeah. Prince Green, I would not want to know what kind of movies they show inside of a theater called the Big D. I'll tell you what kind of movies they show. They show King of the Planet of the Apes this Thursday. And last week, they showed The Fall Guy. Jenna Wigster, our pen troll, just said that. Okay. Sandy, what's going on? Welcome. See, Abomination says, wow, I was just kidding about the 2001 Apes movie, but am I crazy? It looks like it made some decent money. It did. Again, based just looking at the numbers as they are, it made over three times its budget. On paper, that seems like it made money. Again, I would want to do some random crazy charting just to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure it made money, which is crazy. Jeremy Zikowski, as an edit here, speaking of adjusting the other day, inflation talks made the point that you could never assume how a movie from years ago would perform now. I don't really see the difference in that comment, but okay. Jenna Wingster is indeed a citizen of Asgard. Why did that show up twice? How bizarre. Hardwick in the chat. Hail. What do you think the chances are that Atlas, the Jennifer Lopez robot movie, will be worse than Rebel Moon? As far as quality is concerned, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say almost anything I think has the potential to be better than Rebel Moon. Because that's just how bad Rebel Moon is. Abomination. The memes people are coming up with for women who honestly answer man or bear are just hilarious. Yeah, seriously. Like, if you are going to honestly... Because I think, honestly, most of these women who are saying they'd rather be stuck with a bear are not being truthful. They're just being disingenuous. Because if they were to honestly think that, it's like, okay, let's test that theory. And as soon as you were to even consider it, they would immediately turn around. Snow Golem says, but the bear will know not to eat you if you wave your hands around. As long as you wave your hands around like the signal from Team America. John Wingster. Odin, I take the bear. He would end me quickly and not nag me. Wow. Wingster's comments, not mine. Abomination. You can't reason with a man, but you can reason with a bear. Is that something that someone actually said? Goodness gracious. You can reason with the bear. Print screen. Have you seen the new clip from Francis Ford Coppola's new movie, Megatropolis? I have not. Abomination. Almost interested in seeing theater because of that clip. Father Lucas says, y'all have a good night and blessed rest of your week. Absolutely. Blessed Easter to you. Hardwick, did you go back and watch the Inacrana portion of last... I was watching the whole time, Hardwick. I was in the chat the whole time, actually. So if you were there, you would have seen me in the chat because it was a really good discussion. I only missed parts of it because around 30 minutes or so in... No. About an hour and a half in is when my kids usually get home. And so that's normally where I have to have help unpack the car and, you know, get everyone settled and such. But I was there the most, I was in the chat the vast majority of the time waiting to jump in because initially it was supposed to only be 30 minutes and then it ended up being over an hour, which is why I only had about 20 minutes. Harwick says, years before Andy Serkis played Caesar, he played King Kong. I think I remember hearing about that, but yeah, that movie still just, nah. Fritz Fontaine. Andrew made a great Spider-Man, not a very good Peter Parker. Toby was a better Peter. Yeah, I think that there's definitely a lot of like crossovers between that. Of like, oh, this person is the better Peter Parker. This person's the better Spider-Man. In general, I think most people agree. Andrew Garfield is the better actor. Like, he is just on paper a much more talented actor than any of the other ones, right? I know people love Toby, and I know people have a special place in their heart for Tony. Toby is not the greatest of actors. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I love him. I love him as Peter Parker. I love his Spider-Man movies even, but not as good of an actor. Prince Green, spoilers don't bother me. If anything, I prefer spoilers since I'm not the biggest fan of surprises. There you go. See, Icthulhu says, when was the last movie that had a twist so relevant that spoiling mattered? Glass, Infinity War, it must have been many, many years. Yeah, I honestly really can't think of many twists where... the spoilers mattered. Like, it's funny that you mentioned Glass because honestly, you think about some of the better films from M. Night Shyamalan and they had some decent twists in some of those. But yeah, it's a good one. I honestly can't think of what the last one would have been where it would have mattered as much. Because even Infinity War really didn't matter because the comics were there. So you already knew a lot of the things that were going to happen because of the comics. Now, again, I know there's some differences, but in general. Father says, crucifix in my living room has a St. Benedict medal in the middle of it. Yeah, I have the rosaries that I make have the St. Benedict. In fact, I can show you. Here's one of the ones that I've made. Someone asked for a red one. So I have a St. Benedict crucifix. So I've got the St. Can't focus, but there's a St. Benedict medal in there. And then I put a miraculous medal and a St. Benedict medal on it. But yeah, I make knotted rosaries and give them away. I used to also give the option to do a knotted rosary or to do a beaded rosary, but the beaded rosaries are just, there's a lot that goes into those. Making them is easy. It's getting all of the things that I need for it that just gets crazy. And when, you know, I try to say keep it to like basic primary colors, like there's just some that are harder to get, but anyway. I do still make the knotted rosaries. If you go to my website, ombreviews.com, there is a rosary request form you can put in. Gary Banjo Sandwich says, Odin wants a mathlete son. Now, actually, to be honest, and I already have this in many ways, what I want is my children to enjoy watching movies with me. And thankfully, baby Thor is already a fan of film. I still remember, like... It was when he was maybe a year and a half, he watched Star Wars and just loved it, fell in love. And he still likes Star Wars. It's still something we go back to constantly. We've expanded that movie palette, though. Hardwick says, what if instead of naming it the Big T, they had named it the Double... Oh, no, no! Oh, man. Let's see. Prince Green, I'm also trying to get over a phone social media addiction. It makes my mind hyperactive and I need to limit it. Yeah, I mean, there have already been studies that show this. This is one of the professional development is something that most teachers, when they hear it, they just go, ugh, because it's like soul-sucking in many situations. Because a lot of times professional development are people who used to be teachers who have been out of the classroom for several years who think they can tell you as teachers who are in the classroom how to do your job better. And so most of the time it's like, bro, you haven't been in the school. You haven't been in the classroom in ages. You have no idea what you're talking about. And or it's like everything that you're saying right now is not relevant to our school and our students. And it just drives you nuts. But one of the only times that professional development was good was we had a great talk from a, I forget what he was, but must have been a PhD in psychology or something. And he was telling us about all the studies that had been done about the effects of social media and cell phones on the human brain, especially on the teenage brain. And one of the fascinating things about it was he said, one of the reasons why there are so many diagnoses now for ADHD is not because there's more kids who have it, but rather the phones are having kids show signs of ADHD, showing symptoms of ADHD. And what was fascinating about it was they did tests with it. And so they took the phone away from different segments, right? They did the full, you know, testing with the different groups. And what they found was that there was significant improvement in cognition and memory in all these areas when the phone was taken away. And essentially all of the signs and symptoms of ADHD went away over like I think it was like a couple week period that it took. But what it tells us is that a lot of the people that are getting diagnosed now with ADHD don't actually have it. It's rather they're just addicted to their phones. And so, yeah, totally get that. And yeah, turning on notifications, I think, is a big way to help. It's been very helpful for me. And again, everyone's a little bit different. Abomination says, funny, disturbing. Denki walks that fine line rather well. Rob D. Tad say, the weight of your steelbooks collapsed the shelving. I don't have all steelbooks. And no, it was... Yeah, and I for anyone who maybe missed it, it collapsed because my wife, who I, of course, I love my wife. She, when we had this office made, because this is where I am right now, it used to be a downstairs kitchen because we have a place that, you know, it had like two floors because it was like a former Airbnb kind of thing. And so we took the kitchen out and put a little office in because baby Thor needed to have his big boy room, right? So he had to get my old office. Missed my old office because it had all the space that I needed. And this is a much smaller space, much smaller than we thought for my needs. Like the reason why there's a chair back here, by the way, is because our initial plan was, oh, this is where my entertainment center is going to be. So we're going to put the TV in here and everything. And it was like, there's just no space. Like we could do it. We could make it work, but it would just be very, very cramped. And I just don't have the creative capacity to deal with that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, because of that, right, because this used to be a open area kitchen, the light switches that we have in here control one of the lights out there. So even though there is another light switch, because it happens to be on the other side, a few steps away, it would take you 10 seconds to get to, she didn't like the fact that the light switch was here and was not, you know, not on the other side of the wall. And so we had a friend who is an amateur electrician, and so he was able to like get that fixed. That way there's a light switch on the other side now so she can control it. It's like it was a whole thing that was done. And in order to get to it without having to break through the drywall, which was brand new, because of course all this we do after the fact, after everything gets set up, was we had to remove some of the base plates. And so to get to the base plate, so that way we didn't have to do as much rebuild, my Blu-ray shelf, which is hanging on the wall, had to come off the wall. So it was literally like just in the middle of the room standing, right? And I was like, that should be okay. Well, because of how it's made so that it can be against the wall, right? And so that it can kind of lean against the wall just a little bit. And because it was now moved off the wall, didn't take long for eventually it just to fall over against the wall, put cracks in the wall, put holes in the drywall, essentially. We had to repaint and stuff. And then everything just fell and collapsed. So there we go. There's that fun story. All right. Kimberly G. I'm trying to limit my phone time. Sometimes I see horrible things I don't want to see, causes anxiety when I don't need anymore. Absolutely. And this is something too, where I also am one who needs, to do even more, right? Because my screen time had gone down for, you know, during Lent especially, my screen time was going down, but it's gone back up again. And that's something I know I need to work on. Usually it's because sometimes you just need to have a mental detox. And when you don't have a lot of free time, except for like late in the evenings, things like that, there's times where it's like that doom scrolling. But again, I know I need to improve that self-control because I can do it. Forever Sci-Fi says, your shelf did not collapse. It really just committed to the discussion with perfect timing. Ah, yes, of course. Of course. Carl Jacobs, what's going on? This is great. Hello, chat. I'm late. It's all my wife's fault. Don't put on the wife. Hardwick, Taylor Swift is basically the poor man Shania Twain. Rob D, I stopped buying box sets because Hollywood just keeps putting out more sequels, so you never have a perfect box set unless you just cut ties and stop caring about further sequels. Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do. I have the tire, right? Fast and Furious 1 through 6. I bought 7, and there was a little space in there that I could put 7 in. I actually don't like it. That was when I was still somewhat of a completionist, but I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this Fast and Furious films. So that one is a perfect 6 movies. Not perfect, but enjoyable 6 movies. Abomination. Next time you need Henry Cavill and Anna, that Star Wars girl, on FNT. No, because then I won't be able to get on the show. If you have 2 of them there especially, then I won't have space. Hardwick. Would you be interested in a guide on how to reinforce bookshelves? I found one a while back and did it to my shelves last year. No, I'm all right, dude. I appreciate it, though. Again, the only reason why, it wasn't the weight. It was the shelf literally just tipped back. When it's against the wall, it's not going anywhere. So, yeah, it was hard to see from the video. But, yeah, it did not actually collapse. It actually fell over. And then because the back was just, you know how when you make these bookshelves sometimes, or these Blu-ray shelves, you have like this very thin wooden panel and you got like these little tiny nails that you tack on there to keep the, basically to make the back look nice. It's more for visibility than it is for practicality. So with all the weight of the Blu-rays on that, it just fell through, broke it. Yeah. I'm sure the video is still out there somewhere. I know for a fact the video is out there somewhere. Let us see. King and Rumsky Tad say, you can't stop Marky Mark. You can only hope to contain him. Wendy Hunter. I remember when the Marky Mark film came out and it was a huge success. Yeah, again, I did not know that, right? 2001, I was in middle school. So that's long before I was going every weekend to the box office. I was going rather to the movie theater. Rob D, you have to remember Planet of the Apes 2001 was the return after almost 30 years. Think of it like The Phantom Menace and The Force Awakens. Oh, okay. That's actually, I think, a good comparison. That's a good way of thinking of it, of that. CM Chunk, I actually liked the 2001 movie. I hated the cliffhanger ending, though. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Prince Green, Marky Mark was insanely popular in the early 2000s. Interesting. Orange Kingdom, the one coming out, takes place most likely before the events of the original Planet of the Apes. A couple of things give that away, the humans being less feral, and the monarch government instead of a government that they had in the original. Yeah, basically, it looks like they're just going through that natural cycle of having, okay, you start off with this form of government, and then you get into this form of government, and then this one. What I'm hoping for, though, is now that they're going monarchy, I really hope they don't try to take any shots at Christendom. Really hope they don't try to take that. Thulu, I like Planet of the Apes 2001 because it was a typical movie, not this movie, a modern, super realistic effort. Interesting. Shen Hong says international now means China. And yeah, that's the other thing that oftentimes Tony especially doesn't take into account either, is that, yeah, if you make a lot of money in China, you get a lot less return. Prince Green, the Oppenheimer slander has to end now. Father Miller, Deadpool did go back in time and try to kill Hitler. Abomination says, okay, we won't call Odin a prude. He's prudish. I knew it. A prudish princess. Jonah Wingster, Odin isn't enough to appreciate the naked feminine form. Oh, no. Just in a very appropriate manner. The way that God has made for us, in fact. Shen Hong, time to say, the real answer that needs to be answered, yes, the movie made money, but did Barbie sell toys? That's actually a very good point. And in fact, I want to see. Can I? It's always fun calling out Tony. Let me see. Can I call out Tony again? Can I call out Tony again? I really hope I can. It's a very easy thing to do. But let me see. Okay. Well, here's one where I can, even before I get to the one I was thinking of. All right. So you know how they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, TMNT was so successful, man. They sold so many things. Merchandise. Super Mario Brothers. I don't see you have anything about merchandising or game sales giving anything to them. Why not put that in there? Is it because, oh, they don't need that to be profitable? I wonder. Why put it for one but not the other? But the one that I was really looking for is what was just mentioned about Barbie. All right, let's see. Let's see what their chart is. Let's see if I can call them out again. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Revenue. Oh, my goodness. $1 billion in revenue. Theatrical, home, entertainment, television, streaming. Now, I will say this much. $200 million in streaming. Let's see. Who is this from? Was this from Universal? No, Warner Brothers. So are they trying to say that they got $200 million by putting a Warner Brothers movie on Max? Patooey, I spit at you. Still made a lot of profit, though, obviously. Still made a lot of profit even without that amount of money. Again, made $1.4 billion worldwide, so that's still very impressive. But again, what's lacking here? Wait a minute, nothing about sales? Nothing about sales. Not that, again, you would sell anything from that movie because all that you really have to sell is a garbage to your feminist message. But hey, I gotta start to wrap things up. Let's see. But yeah, the whole merchandise thing, it's like, come on, bro. Let's see. Hardwick says, TMNT, the breakfast cereal. TMNT, the flamethrower. Merchandising. Merchandising? The kids love this one. Let's see. Abomination says, considering that people showed shelves full of race-swapped fat April figures next to empty shelves of classic TMNT figures, I don't think the movie sold that much merch. And he going on to say, TMNT could reliably sell merch every year. I would be interested to hear how much money is sold in Mutant Ninja Turtles merchandise in a given year. Because that would make it even worse for Tony. Prince Green says, there's no way that TMNT Mutant Mayhem was more profitable than Oppenheimer. Yep. But again, there's a lot of problems with his list overall. A lot of problems. Cthulhu. He was just looking for any excuse to keep A24 off the list. That film company was and is the real winner of 2023 and 2024. I guess to a certain extent, I will agree. Like A24 has been very innovative in their the way they release movies. I wouldn't say, though, that he was not trying to keep A24 off. He was trying to keep Sound of Freedom off his list. And again, if you saw his coverage of Sound of Freedom, you would be like, oh, yeah, he did not want that. He did not. And I even mentioned, I can't wait for him to say Sound of Freedom, because he even had it one of his articles. He said, you won't believe what the next one is. And I'm like, oh, this is going to have to be Sound of Freedom. And no, nowhere does he mention it. Wendy Hunter, I watched the new TMNT on Paramount Plus and was glad I streamed it. Enjoyable and not worth the ticket price. Yeah, that sounds about right. Prince Green, Sound of Freedom exists. Tony, I fear no man, but that thing, it scares me, pretty much. Forever Sci-Fi, shows how much you can trust the government when the SEC lets Disney get away with that we made money from streaming nonsense. It's pretty ridiculous. Victor Fontaine says, is that home entertainment, physical media sales, and streaming includes... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's both, Victor Fontaine. I'm pretty sure that when it says home entertainment sales... It is PVOD and Blu-ray physical media sales. Prince Green, scratch that, reverse it, Odin is Willy Wonka confirmed. Yes. I quote that so much. I use that quote so often. Hardwick, Mummy 1999 was released 25 years ago today. Oh, yes. Is that in theaters again? I know it's about to. Abomination says, Angel of Studios couldn't afford to pay themselves $100 million, so of course it's not on Tony's list. Yeah, seriously. Now, had they said, oh, we paid ourselves $20 million to put it onto our Angel Studios app, then maybe Tony would be interested. Wendy Hunter, Disney math. Yep. Hardwick, have you watched the 4K disc of The Mummy? It looks fantastic and is a massive upgrade over the bad transfer for the Blu-ray. I have not actually seen that. Abomination, Atlas will very likely be better than Rebel Moon, but the whole allegory that people are theorizing might hurt its engagement. Kimberly G, as a country girl, I'd take a man over a bear any day. You can't reason with wildlife. No, you can't. I mean, sad story, but my puppy Willow. I love Willow. She's hilarious. She's adorable. I love her. But we have had a couple of occasions where we've had a bunny rabbit in our backyard and she's caught them. And there's been two times where I've had to pry her jaw open because she would not let go. Because as soon as she tasted the blood of the rabbit, she just would not let go. One of the times, actually, I actually hurt my hand because that's how much pressure. Like I literally was trying to get this thing out of her mouth because it's like I was obviously in my head because I'm a sensible soul. I love animals of all kinds. And so as soon as the first time I actually heard the little thing squeaking, so I was just like, my heart broke. I was like, no, don't do it. Don't. But I mean, so even if I see that with my dog, who on most days is like on her back, like rub my belly, like a wild bear. Yeah, I'm sorry. Spare me that nonsense. Prince Green. Speaking of Shyamalan Ding Dong, have you seen the trailer for his next movie, Trap with Josh Hartnett? No, I'm just so done with him. I just don't go out of my way to watch anything with him. Like, unless I start to hear some good things about it. Well, Nation, people for a long time were misdiagnosed with ADHD. Yeah, and again, I think a big part of it was because of the phones being a part of it. For sci-fi, we need to go back to sending kids summer camp like in Meatballs. No phone, just nature and friends that you can make it. Yeah, and even before that, Forever Sci-Fi, we should have schools where you don't have your phone at all. I don't say that from experience at all. Laura says, after Fall Guy, I snuck into Phantom Menace, first time seeing it in theaters. I will imagine, look, as much as critical as I am of the prequels, I think it would have been really nostalgic to be like, oh my gosh, it's back on the big screen. All right, we are wrapping things up. Let's see. I want to make sure I'm not skipping any members' comments. Let's see. Snow Column says, oh Lord, yes, they just gave that stuff out in the late 80s and all the 90s, like Tic Tacs. Oh, talking about the diagnosis? Yeah. But again, as someone who does have it, whenever someone says, oh, it's not real, it's fake, I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Prince Green, first you attack an Oppenheimer, then Furious 7, you have crossed the line. Sorry I let you go. Orange, I gotta run. You have a wonderful night. Gotta get over to the bar room. Have fun over at Bar Room Orange Chat. Shout out to you, good sir. We're wrapping things up. Let's see. Forever Sci-Fi. Anyone else want to see one of these ape movies work in a Spaceballs bit? Oh, man. Maybe that'll come out in the... What's going to be the next Planet of the Apes film title? That's the real question. You have Rise, Dawn, War, Kingdom. I guess, will the next one be like Empire? I don't know. Gary Banjo Sandwich. That Tony chats baloney. He is baloney indeed. Abomination. Didn't Barbie split profit 50-50 with Warner Brothers and Hasbro or whoever? Ah, yes. Great point. Great point, Abomination. Yes. So if he's going to have all of these other things mentioned, right? Studio Net, that's actually a lie. Oh, Abomination, you caught something I didn't even catch. Yes. So even according to Tony's metrics, this movie did not make $421 million in profits because it did split the profits 50-50. Now, again, the way he describes profits is very wonky. So the profits specifically that would be split would be the $659 million that was made in net, right? And I'm trying to see if he doesn't seem to mention making anything, because that's about half of the worldwide total. All right, so that makes sense. So that's what they would get from the theatrical release. But then when you take the theatrical profits, you would still have to split that between it and Hasbro because they went in 50-50 with it. Yeah, absolutely. You're right, dude. Thanoto says, talk to Tom on all questions dealing with TMNT. That's true. Tom is an expert on that. Abomination, wouldn't be surprised if Shredder's Revenge game got a got people to buy a lot of merch. There you go. Victor Fontaine agrees about the 4K. Cthulhu, how to get a bunny out of the mouth of a pet? Scruff of neck, finger in into throat. I had lots of practice with my pets. Oh, man. Yeah, so Cthulhu, the issue, though, for me was the scruff I can get, but finger to throat, how can you even reach? Like, literally could not, like, her jaw was clenched. That was the problem. Abomination, we should have schools not funded by the government. Let neighborhoods teach the kids with a person they trust and let the families provide supplies. Agreed. Subsidiarity. This is a Catholic social principle. Catholic social teaching is lowest level, local is better. If a lower level of society is as good, if not better, than a higher unit of society, the lower unit should get the preference and should be allowed to do the thing. Education is a great example of that. Cthulhu says, hope everyone had a wonderful evening. You too, Wendy Hunter. Thanks for being here. Prince Screen, thanks for being here. Kimberly G, thanks for being here. Kava Keith, thanks for hanging out as well, dude. Appreciate you being here. Rob D says, heaven of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But those are all the things we have to talk about in all the chats. Thank you all for being here. Please make sure y'all smash that like button. Light up that fire button if you're watching on Aussie. Smash the rumble button as well. Tonight we talked about how Tony is full of it. That's no surprise to us. But also we talked a little bit about the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and how it's not looking like it's going to make as much as the other films in the franchise when you actually take into account real numbers. So we'll do a further breakdown of that at geeksandgamers.com for the box office breakdown this coming weekend. We'll do a comparison, and I might be able to, if I have the motivation, if I have the time to make a dedicated video showing you the actual ticket prices and do a dedicated preview this week, might be able to get that together. We'll have to wait and see. I can't promise anything. Just like I can't promise May shoutouts because it's me. So April shoutouts coming in to y'all once again. And again, I appreciate everyone who is supporting and all the members on YouTube, on all the different locations. And seriously, thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for watching. Thank y'all for commenting. It always is a ton of fun. You guys are all amazing and beautiful people. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. And as always, God bless.